Let's have a time of prayer. Blessed Father and God, we thank you and praise you for thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and we rejoice that our times are in thy hands and we wish them there. Thou hast drawn us again to this place that has left and have wonderful memories, indeed, of spending time around the things of Christ. Once again, another opportunity has been given to us to bring Christ before our hearts. We ask thy divine help and guidance that we read in the book distinctly and give the sense and cause all to understand. We thank thee for your goodness. We thank thee for those that thou hast drawn here this weekend. We ask that our time together would be like iron sharpening iron. So do friends sharpen the countenance of friends. We ask now to bless and follow thy word with blessing. Save his ruddy and precious name. Amen. 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 I want to turn to one verse in John's Gospel. Sorry, Epistle of John. And chapter 1. And verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Brother Verrill was speaking about beholding him. Our theme this weekend will be Behold the Bridegroom. We are going to be occupied with the Bridegroom, to see him and to enter into his heart, or seeing him revealing his heart to us. So when Brother Verrill was saying the Greek root of the word behold, here it is in the book of the Epistle of John. He said this, and John speaks of the bride and the bridegroom. He says that which was from the beginning, it means the incarnation of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard him. He said, seen, looked upon, and handled. Those are profound statements. To think the eternal Son, that one who was with the Father, and now revealed to us, a divine person, he says, you know what? We have heard him. We give audience. We understood what he was saying. This is what John is saying. We have seen him. We have stared upon him with open eyes. We have looked closely. We have perceived. And we have handled him. John leaned on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaned on his breast. The scripture tells us. We want to read in the book of Matthew's Gospel. And chapter 22. And Jesus, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage, to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, for my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreating them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered. And gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came into to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And many are called, but few are chosen. We are going to speak and spend some time on the bridegroom. We want to have the proposal. We want to have the engagement. We want to have the espousal. We also want to have the love of Christ, the union and the consummation of this wonderful purpose of God. We know that the coming of the Lord is very soon, very soon. And any believer who truly have laid hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ is looking forward to this blessed day, the coming of the Lord. Because it tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. And the apostle tells us, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all of us shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the scripture tells us. And he tells us the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So the next great event on God's calendar is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming for us as the bridegroom. He is coming also as the Lord. He's coming also as the King. He's coming also as the judge. That's not for us. What is for us is the bridegroom. And he's coming. And now the scripture set forth before us wonderful truths in the scriptures in relation to this aspect of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people are talking about the coming of the Lord, they have no concept really that there is a distinct line between his appearing and his coming for his own, coming for his bride. So we want to see through the scriptures this weekend how we can clearly separate these things and show you the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to the bride. So he tells us, we want to look at least three things in relation. It tells us that the Father gives the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ, or the church to the Lord. We want to see that from Scripture. Also, he purchased her by his precious blood. And thirdly, indeed, she is the peculiar property of the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship has its own peculiar joys when it comes to the bridegroom and the bride, the Lamb's wife. Tender things. Here we are, three of us, three couples, stood up in the front here. And we can look back, you know. We could look back. We were not married before. We were single at one time. And here we are, unions before your eyes. I could remember when Brian wasn't married. I'm talking about Brian Harris, not this Brian here. Okay? I can remember when JT wasn't married. I couldn't remember. I didn't know when John got married. But the fact is, it took place. And there was a stage, there was a path that led to this union. The same is in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to the Father giving the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that line in the book of Genesis chapter 2. And let us look at it very quickly, please. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he or built he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave father and his mother, and shall cleave or be glued unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 31 and 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So now we see from Scripture how the Father brought the bride to Christ, to the bridegroom. It is seeing the Son now as a man, is in incarnation. This happens. Now, all the aspects of the glories of Christ, outside of being the Son and being the Creator, every other glory he has as a man. Okay? As a Savior, as Redeemer, as Surety, as Priest, as a Mediator. Everything is a man. As a bridegroom, he is seen as a man. So now, God says the Father brought this woman to the Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a gift. She's a gift to the bridegroom from the Father. Secondly, let's turn. Says, he purchased her now by his blood. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 13. And verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, and which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now she is seen as a treasure in a field, chapter 13 and verse 20 tells us that the field is the world. Same chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, verse
38.
Yes, quite right, 38. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So now, here it is. The Son, the Lord Jesus, is looking on and see this treasure in this world, and also seeing indeed this pearl of great price. What did he do? The scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself. He went up. He says, wow, I want this bride, I want this woman, so to speak. I am going to secure for myself. No, the thing is this, brethren, one will ask. From an aspect, when we look at sinners, the scripture tells us a man is dead in trespasses and in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon earth that do it right and sin it not. And you says, people says, look at the sin and you could see, indeed, after he's saved, the transformation of the work of God in his soul. But when it comes to the church, brethren, hey, it have none of that, you know. He saw her beautiful already. He saw, indeed, as it were, through the eyes of divine persons. She is beautiful. She is such a unique woman, indeed. And he says, listen, I'm going to give myself for her. She is precious as a pearl. Indeed, she is a treasure in this world. And he says, listen, I am going to give up all that I have because I want to secure her for myself. Something we have to realize, brethren. In spite of the breakdown, in spite of things that are going adrift, we keep this in mind. From the eyes of the Lord Jesus, the church is beautiful. She is glorious. She is his affection. His affections is here because what he loves is here. So it's no sense of saying, you know, I ask a young lady about the man she was going to get married. She says, listen, Brother Brian, roof. So I says, what that mean? She says, you don't know what that means? Roof. She says, it's either he's the cat's meow or the dog's roof. He is a roof. She was so caught up with him that she says, listen, I will go where he goes. Just like Ruth said to Naomi, Well, the Lord Jesus is the reverse. She couldn't come to him. He came to her. And the thing about this bride, it was from the way back in eternity, you know. It was not something, a thought just sprang up. It was the desire of divine persons to secure a bride for the Son. And thirdly, let us look at Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24, we know that Abram sent out the servant to secure a bride for his son. Now, the servant here is the type of the Spirit of God. So we have divine persons at work in relation to this bride for the son. It tells us he went, he met her at the well for brevity of time. Give his cattle drink, him drink, in verse 32. He had given us some of his treasures that were out of his master's house. She ran home and told her family what happened. Laban came out and he brings the servant to the house, verse 32. And the man came into the house. And he had girded his camel and give straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abram's servant, and the Lord had blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bear a son to my master. When he was old, and unto him he had given all that he had. Everything was given to Isaac. Everything was placed into his hands. And Isaac was, then there's a, in John's, we'll read some verses in John's gospel after. But then, hear what happened. When he sat down and he says, listen, and they call verse 55, and a brother and a mother said, let the damsel abide with us for a few days. At least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she says, I will go. The work of the Spirit of God. Brethren, I was just in Uganda. And there's a young brother who wants to get married. Listen, you gotta thank God for the West, you know. Because a lot of you wouldn't be married. Because the fellas had us to get about at least 20 cows. Alright? And have to come up with some dowry that is very, you know, expensive. Here it is. You go to a man's mother or parents and says, you know, I like your daughter. Yeah, but you have to come up with at least 200 cattle. No, where would you get that? How would you produce it? There are various, in various cultures, different things are done. In some cultures, listen, is the woman in India have to give the man something. And he will not eat until he is satisfied. I grew up for some years in Trinidad and went. And fight will break out because the girl brothers believe he's too greedy and he wants too much. Then after, in some cultures, it's now the man have to give. And I tell you, just last week, my wife could tell you, a brother said, in a certain place, some guy give 200 cattle for a bride. And then a man offered 500, so they tell me, you take back your 2. And he had to leave. Because the cost of a bride is not felt so much in certain societies. Over here, some may go to a parent and says, well, you like your daughter? And they says, well, I'll speak to my daughter. Or the man may come to direct to the young lady and says, you know, I'm very impressed. You may go on a date. And various things are done. But listen, here in scripture, we are talking now about the bridegroom having seen the bride and having coming after her. You could imagine the joy. This is where Matthew comes in. Matthew comes in the sense of the joy of divine persons in relation indeed to this proposal, to the son saying to the father, Father, you know, I found her, you know. I found her. You know, we used to sing a song years ago in here at Mountain View. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. This is the thing. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, indeed, is so interested in this union of the Son and his bride that they all begin to work. That the Father now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, is saying, he is going to set up. He is calling. He says he's going to invite to the marriage of his son. And said, I want you to come. 3 invitations went up. 3 invitations. Let's turn quickly, please. Matthew 22. The first invitation is in verse 2. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, he is seen as the father, which made a marriage for his son. Invitations went out in verse 3. Another invitation in verse 4. And another invitation in verse 9. I want you to come. What a tremendous. Now, let us speak about practical things. You're going to have a wedding. You have to send out an invitation. And as you send it out, what you are sending it out for? To come and enjoy this time with us. To enjoy the Father's thought of this union. To enjoy the intimate relationship that will be established by the Son and his bride. And the Spirit of God is pulling. In the book of Luke, it's the servant because it's the Spirit of God. Here is the servants because many are used by the Spirit of God to bring indeed a sense of the urgency of the moment and to bring the sense of the joy that was there. The Spirit of God is saying, listen, my God the Father has committed everything into the hands of the Son. This is what the servant said in the days of Abraham. Indeed, he has given everything he has into the hands of the Son. The Spirit of God today is saying the same. And let us look at it, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 35. It tells us, verse 34, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, and God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. Everything that Abraham had, he had given to Isaac. And now he's saying to us, you know what? I want you to know this. I want you to know there is joy. Joy. It's only, I think I went one place once and food ran out at a wedding. Because the guy invited 50 people and had food for 50. I said to him, listen, you know people like to, in the islands, people like to crash weddings. All right? You are not invited. But I tell you, they show up. So I said to him, please, listen, get some extra food. He says, no man, only 50 people will show up. You know, 2 weeks before the wedding, people came by and says, I hear there's a wedding here next 2 weeks. Is this the place? I say, yes. Do you know people were coming around looking for the place, and I said to him, I says, brother, I am telling you, people came looking for the place, and I thought they were invited guests, but they were not invited, but they came. You see, I want to liken this to appreciation. Appreciation. Some make light of the invitation. Some make light of the joys of the Father, the Son, and the cries of the Spirit of God. Some make light of it. They says, hey, this is not important. But those who were needy, he says, go out, find them, tell them to come, because all things are ready. And this is the path. The path is, listen, we are, if we want to, we can say it, we are part of the bride. And the thing is this, would I look forward to a person that likes me and I have some affections for them? The next thing is that I was married. I want to say this first. I used to travel on the train with a young girl in New York. And she and a young brother, they were Christians, were going out a while. And she said to me on the train, Brother Brian, no, she says, I want to get married. I want to get married. I tell you, I was so embarrassed because first to begin, people looking at me. And they thought it's me she's speaking about. I want to get married. That's what I want. I don't want this long engagement. I want to get married. I was so embarrassed. I put up my hand like this just for them to see my ring. Yes. Embarrassed. She says, I want, because there's a longing, there's a desire. This is what indeed the Son wants. The Son loves the church. He's looking forward to this union, and we don't feel it. We don't feel this intimate relationship we have with him. And yet it is the Father is inviting us and say, please come. Come enjoy my joy. Enjoy my joy. And we'll get to Matthew chapter 25. And we'll get to also 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Since we are going to take you right into the book of Revelation, because of the fact the Father's heart is cheered. Because what do you think happened? You think, no, here it is. As a parent, John have sons, daughters that are married. I have children that are married. You could imagine Brian going to get married and has been married, JT. And somebody saying, listen, there's a joy. There's something about marriage, in spite of how they're trying to, what they're trying to do today, there is something wonderful about it. Nothing on this is the oldest institution. And God says, listen, this is only a reflection of Christ and the church. And the cry is here, or the desire we want to look at, and put in a nutshell, is this. Christ saw her. Look at that beauty. Wow. I'm coming. I'm going to give my all to secure her. And the Father's heart, because the Son pleased him so much, he gave the church to Jesus. And the Spirit of God says, I'm going to bring her along to present to him the work of divine persons. Now, there are some who will not appreciate this. There are some who are going to say, hey, no big thing. But the fact is, those who enter into the heart of divine persons and see what they have secured for the joys of the Son, come and enjoy what God has secured and what he is bringing us into. And today, today, let us, all of us, look at ourselves as the bride of Christ. Not individually speaking, all of us collectively as the bride of Christ. She, we get in the Revelation, has made herself ready. It means I'm preparing. I've never seen any young sister yet go in and get married and wait for the last day. No, sir. But I tell you, I don't know how people could get married 3 and 4 times. I don't know, because I'm telling you, when I said I do, it was like a weight came off of me. I said, praise the Lord, it's over. I'm telling you, ask any brother who get married. You look forward to the day, and it says, you have this right. You put this in place, that in place. Even the morning at the wedding, you want to know, is the taxi coming? All kind of stuff go through your mind. But after it's over, it's like, thank God it's over. That's why you really need a honeymoon. To get away. Indeed, listen, I tell you, there is joy. Let's capture this joy this weekend. Let's see him, the bridegroom, and lay hold upon the fact we are called to enjoy the Father's joy, the Son's joy, and the Spirit of God has been sent as the earnest of our inheritance, that we may be brought, have a present enjoyment of that, and then ultimately in the day to come. Let us, brethren, be blessed. Amen.